Okay, you're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
When the government told us that the vaccinated couldn't transmit it, was that a lie or was that a guess?
I think it was hope that the vaccine would work in that way.
If you're vaccinated and boosted, you are highly protected. So there's no excuse for anyone being unvaccinated. This continues to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Let's be very clear. 50% of the people who died from the Omicron surge were older, vaccinated.
For the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
And I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I think we overplayed the vaccines, and it made people then worry.
Thank you. I like the way the line runs up the back of this stocking. I've always liked those kind of high heels too, you know. No, don't take them off. Don't take, leave them on. Yeah, that's it. A little more to the right.
Thomas Paine podcast on a Friday. What's going on out there, folks? Well, we will tell you what's going on here. Kind of a interesting evening has progressed on a Thursday into Friday. We were interviewing Maria Albanese, and the strangest things happened. You won't even believe it. We started taping at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we should get this thing out by 11 p.m. Thursday night, hopefully, by the time we're done here. And so around 9 p.m., interesting things happened that you will... it's fantastic when things unfold on the fly and you get to hear. But before things unfolded on the fly, we were already unfolding things on the fly and related to this search warrant of Trump's and many other things we talk about. Fantastic conversation, by the way, just rock and roll from start to finish and dropping a lot of truths. And some things that have been in the archives and have been in the vault for a while that we have never previously released. That's very interesting. And while that was happening, it appears that the Justice Department was taking a chapter out of the very Thomas Paine podcast from 2 days ago. Here come the helicopters down, if you can hear that on the mic. 2 days ago, the Thomas Paine podcast on the public side, of course, there's no difference except there's ad-free on Paine.tv and the Paine.tv app. So the very same podcast that everybody on our platforms will listen to. August 10th, Thomas Paine podcast, exclusive. Did FBI's Trump raid see classified docs detailing private illegal nuke deal with Saudi Arabia? Paine reaches deep into the intel archive. I've been talking so much today. I'm personally impressed my voice is still going. So instead of repeating myself in that vein, I'm going to reach back to that episode and play you a clip that is going to explain a lot and the meat and potatoes of that said exclusive. And it sets up the rest of this episode in a very unique and revealing way as we make some news on the fly. But the Justice Department has come out with something that says pretty much what I said on August 10th. Last time I checked, that was just 48 hours ago, less than 48 hours ago. Right now it's August 11th, and so 24 hours ago. But by the time you listen to this, we'll be in the 48-hour area. Right along those lines about Trump raid involving classified docs detailing nuclear situations in the Middle East. Wow. When you scoop the Justice Department and scoop the mainstream media, that's a pretty good thing. So that's the way we roll on Thomas Paine podcast and on Paine.tv and the Paine.tv app. And we've thank you folks profusely for your patronage on there. And plain and simple, we have a lot of fun here, as you know. And as a journalist, it's always good to be out in front of the pack And, of course, we're way out in front of the pack because the story I pull back and we talk about from a day ago on this podcast, I wrote in December of 2019. And you'll hear as I play the segment from a day ago to set up the rest of the thing, you understand where we're coming from. So you got to pay a little bit of attention up front, and then the rest of the thing just smooth sailing. When Marie and I start talking, it just kind of takes on a life of its own. But if you really want a good episode of what goes on behind the curtain and what you're not getting from the mainstream media and what you're not getting from the right-wing media, the idiots and the liars in the right-wing media, boy, is this a fucking masterclass in that. A continuation from August 10th, the episode again, also building on what came out of the Justice Department today that parallels exactly what I said a day ago. This is really interesting. Interesting. And this is beyond inside baseball. This is big time, part of the game, et cetera, and part of the chess moves that go on in D.C. and part of the scoops and part of our intel apparatus. And there's so many different intricacies in this episode. Tonight, whenever you listen to this, about the inside game of baseball and how it's played, I think you'll come away really, really with a feeling that you've been enlightened and also been played, not by us, of course, but by many of your trading card heroes. So we're going to play that part here momentarily. Before we do that, I just want to say thanks to the folks that are helping us keep the lights on Pain.tv and the Pain.tv app. We had a fantastic two hot wires this week, which is the top tier of Pain.tv. And folks, we plan on keeping the heat on through the rest of 2022. That's all we can really control. And to tell you really what's going to be going down the rest of the year, and we've already started to breach 2023 and talk about where that's going. So on Hotwire, and it's fantastic. I such a good time doing that, and fantastic time we have here putting that together for folks. So we appreciate you on the top tier as well, and all you folks, especially around the world. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, if you know somebody who could benefit from this show and perhaps make their life better and perhaps give them an opportunity to have a leg up on the hive mind out there, some of the cement heads, whatever you want to deem them or term them, then please share this show with other folks. That's how we grow. I just discovered the depth of miseducation of America. There was this guy, Robert Mars, and he had quite a career during the American Revolution, including hiring Thomas Paine to help unite the colonies. But basically, he used the power of economic freedom to win the war, while the slave power barked at his heels and the British Empire banged on the door. The book I'm talking about proves that America wasn't founded on slavery, but on economic freedom. The New York Times might not like that, but this book, Robert Morris, Inside the Revolution, has over 2,000 endnotes to prove it. Now we can learn how Morris championed free markets in the face of shortages. When hyperinflation hit, Morris supported a silver-based currency. He ran an international spy network, and he smuggled tea and weapons. He set the course of America's foreign relations in a way that lasted 70 years. He ran the Continental Navy, and he had an interest in 250 privateer vessels. And he didn't just take his winnings home. One year, he personally put up more for the war than all the states combined. He coordinated the French fleet and Washington's arrival at Yorktown. He got rid of religious test laws and signed all three founding documents. Later, he lost his fortune with bad real estate investments. When his political opposites, the slave power, won the election of 1800, they focused on their futures, not his past successes. Instead, if they mentioned him at all, they cast him as a bankrupt. Read all about this and more in Robert Morris, Inside the Revolution. It's available online, your favorite online bookstores. Also, for listeners of the Thomas Paine podcast, you can go to paine.tv/Morris directly for a link for the book. That's paine.tv/Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S. And also how we grow is by kicking everybody's ass in the media, which is kind of a, if we're going to do this, you know, let's do it right. That's always been my philosophy when it comes to journalism or intel. Not get too wrapped up with what other people are doing because they're not doing that good of a job in my estimation. So we just keep our nose down and we just keep grinding it out. That will be evident again momentarily. So thank you, folks. And we'll play this and I'll do a little bumper at the end so you know when the segment of the August 10th episode ends. And then we'll go right into the new content with Maria. So here's what we divulged a day ago. It went something like this. Well, next we'll be eating bugs instead of pawning what we own. Of course, the people in D.C. have pawned our entire future. So it's a couple household items or a couple heirlooms or things that you love in exchange for food. But don't worry, you're already distracted and worried about nonsense. Because that's how the machine works. It's hard to find a discipline to understand that you're being played. It's also hard to accept concepts like, was Trump's cabinet and White House a Trojan horse employed to destroy the GOP? Was it? And that would mean part of his presidency was likewise a Trojan horse. Let's move to the declassification scandal. Remember, Trump was going to declassify and Devin Nunes, they were going to declassify all the Justice Department documents and FBI documents. But they never declassified any of them. Why? You know, a lot of the stuff we did back in the days of True Pundit, where we're just fucking literally dismantling the FBI. Not everything made it into print for one reason or another. But that doesn't mean we didn't keep things. So when you talk about, when Hannity sits here and says, what could possibly be the reason? That's a leading question, Your Honor. Counsel is leading the witness. Did you smell that? I did. There's a number of things. First of all, keep this in mind. Please put your pom-poms down. They don't put food on the table. You don't get to be president. You don't get to be in the position to run for office unless you bend some rules and break some laws along the way and get away with them. You don't get to make billions of dollars in this country without cheating the system in one way or many ways on a regular basis. So the babe in the woods thing, in the White House, that's a joke. Keep that in mind. Now, most of you folks know that. I just want to tell you that. This is a story that never made it to print. I'm going to read it to you right now. This is from December of 2019, early in the month, middle of the month, right before Christmas. It didn't make it for print. There's a number of these things we have. And I want to read this one to you. Now, understand this. Right? This is right before CoronaCon, right before they rolled out CoronaCon. Top-level FBI officials, many who have been removed from office through firing and retiring, are openly challenging President Trump to declassify the controversial FISA applications used to garner warrants to spy on his campaign officials and White House. Goes without saying that we have some top-level folks telling us this. Quote, Trump has talked about declassifying the FISA applications so that the public can see what was used to secure the warrants, but he never followed through, unquote, one top FBI official said. Quote, why? Ask yourself why. If what we did was so bad, why not just present the case to the public? Why wait for the Inspector General report? End quote. Putting evidence directly into the hands of the public surely runs counter to how the DOJ operates. But a groundswell of brash rhetoric has been growing among FBI insiders who make no beefs about their disdain for the president and his inner circle. Regardless, and personal differences aside, the question remains legitimate. Why did Trump not declassify the FISA materials as he promised repeatedly? Seems very simple. If you have a smoking gun, why not use it? Especially when your back is against the wall, but that never happened. Quote, you will never see that material go public, one top-level Justice Department official said. Congressmen like Devin Nunes, quote, congressmen like Devin Nunes and Trump can talk all they want, but they didn't have the guts to reveal why the warrants were sought in the first place, unquote. This is a story, federal agents claim, that is told inside the redacted material of the minute documents that have been or potentially will be released. The good dirt will never be made public because it reflects poorly on the White House, according to the feds. One thing is clear when speaking to folks who understand and know the current landscape of the intel community, folks like James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and even the likes of John Brennan are not sweating Attorney General William Barr in the slightest when it comes to probing the FISA process. And it's rather obvious, even to astute civilians. But why? Any loyal Fox News viewer would think these gentlemen would lawyer up, hunker down to prep a legal defense. Instead, this crew is cashing in on books, speaking engagements, lucrative consulting, and broadcasting contracts. Quote, look, not a lot of this can be leaked because it is classified. But they were talking about selling American nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia before the transition, one FBI insider said. Quote, while Trump was not directly involved or thought to be involved at this point, his campaign was, and the discussions continued after he took office. The quote continues from the source, and that is a big secret. The warrants were legit. We got the emails, phone calls. It happened. This is not fiction, unquote. That would be one reason you would want to, if these documents are floating around, to answer Hannity's question. If you're talking about selling American nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia, I think that's probably a big no-no. That usually is handled through the Department of Energy and Congress, not the fucking White House during transition. The transition was the time between Trump's election in November 2016 and his inauguration on January 20th, 2017. Did the feds stay up on the wire too long after the initial warrants stopped producing actionable intelligence? Likely. They did renew the FISA warrants and expand their surveillance, but insiders say that gray area is inside baseball, the kind of information a jury would dismiss. Quote, when is the right time to get out to stop surveillance? One DOJ veteran asked. You shut it down after you know no new information is forthcoming. Any defense attorney could argue if you shut it down too soon, you're acting in bad faith. If you're up on the wire because someone was trying to sell nukes, a jury would agree you stay up on the wire until you bleed it dry, unquote. By federal law, only Congress can negotiate energy deals with foreign governments, and the Department of Energy normally spearheads policy matters in that area, not the White House, especially in a transition. That's insane, but that's what they did. If the warrants were sought to investigate either talks or plans to sell nuclear technology to a foreign country outside of Congress, it's little wonder why Comey, Sally Yates, and their friends continue to thumb their noses at GOP critics. And if this rabid DOJ crew, who do not like Trump in the slightest, was provided the opportunity to probe Trump as a candidate and then as president-elect and beyond, they were going to pounce, and they did just that. And they went too far, as the IG report clearly shows. They abused their power at nearly every step, except for the part where they sought and secured the warrants after Trump was elected. So what is William Barr and John Durham actually investigating? or are they investigating anything at all? Again, this is December 2019. If what Justice Department insiders say is even half true, how could you sell an indictment to a jury that surveillance was not warranted? The folks running the operation might be ethically challenged and career liars, but you gave them a legal window to investigate. Sure, a grand jury can be swayed by a first-year assistant U.S. attorney to indict anyone, innocent or guilty, but what about a regular jury during a public trial or a federal judge? Convincing those entities is what matters. So again, what is Barr probing? I think you may already know the answer. Nothing. So that's a reason that you would seek a search warrant if documents like that were floating around and it relates to another investigation and somebody wouldn't turn them over to the Justice Department. Think about the Middle East, the history with the Middle East and Trump and his son-in-law, negotiations, etc. And all the people involved in this. This went down. They were negotiating to sell U.S. nuclear technology to a foreign country outside of Congress. That's just violates a host of different laws. None of them good, by the way. And that could be exactly what this investigation has to do with. Or it could not be. Or it could be political. The problem is the Trump transition team gave these guys full power to investigate them. And there likely were FISA abuses. Yes. But the initial applications for FISA wiretaps, etc., were completely acceptable. That's why they couldn't declassify any of the documents that they promised to, because it would divulge these things. It would divulge that the administration was trying to sell and set up nuclear deals with the Saudi Arabians. Before they were even sworn into office. It's wild. It's like, nuclear technologies for sale. And the Department of Energy is like, excuse me, we handle that. Oh, no, we're handling that now. We're in charge, fucking Alexander Haig style. So, I mean, let's stop the babe in the woods bullshit. That's one of the things that was left on the cutting room floor in December 2019, as we had other growing problems with CoronaCon, etc. But that doesn't mean we lose it. That doesn't mean we don't warehouse a number of these things that we can reach back into. And this certainly seems germane now at this time to bring up. Bet you folks didn't know a damn thing about that, did you? Well, that's okay. You're busy. We're busy. Everybody's busy, trying to weather the next scamdemic.